4CA is real music, real opinions. 1-300-872-911. John McKenzie, 4CA.
Now, the tariff news, we've got to get to this because there's been a lot of fears generated in recent days and weeks about an announcement that has emerged from Donald Trump. I'll just read from the front page of The Australian, which went to print before the final announcement. It says, Anthony Albanese poised for a showdown with Donald Trump if sweeping tariffs are slapped on Australian goods, with the government considering World Trade action, World Trade Organization action, and invoking dispute measures in the United States Free Trade Agreement as Peter Dutton pledges to stand up to the United States President. Now, the announcement from the American President emerged this morning. I'm going to cross to the independent economist and Vice Chancellor's Fellow at the University of Tasmania, Saul Eslake. Saul, good morning.
Good morning, John. Saul, thank you for having me on the program again.
What's the figure, Saul?
Well, according to the announcement that President Trump made from the Rose Garden in the White House this morning, our time, Australian exports to the US are going to be hit with a 10%, as he calls it, reciprocal tariff. Of course, the people who are going to be hit with these tariffs are American consumers primarily. Some people might say we've gone off lightly by comparison with the 34% tariffs that will be imposed on China, 46% on Vietnam, 49% on poor little Cambodia. I don't know what they've done wrong. 20% on the European Union, 24% on Japan, for example. But the interesting thing is that Trump says that he has given all these other countries I mentioned a 50% discount, his words, against the tariffs that he reckons those countries are imposing on the United States. Whereas he says that Australia is only imposing tariffs of 10% on the United States, but we're being hit with 10% tariffs. So we're not getting a so-called discount, unlike some other countries are. But this just underscores how much nonsense the Trump administration is talking, because we don't impose 10% tariffs on the United States at all. We have a free trade agreement with the United States, which John Howard's government negotiated in 2005. And unlike the United States, we have stuck by the terms of that. We don't impose tariffs on imports from the United States. What the Trump administration is actually categorizing as a tariff is our 10% GST, which is, of course, payable by people who buy stuff imported from the United States, but they pay it on stuff that's made in Australia as well. It's not a tariff any more than Europe's 20% plus VATs, which have apparently been categorized as tariffs by the Trump administration, and that's why they're getting hit with higher tariffs than we are. And this is just complete nonsense. The burden of it will fall on American consumers. Yes. They know it because they're telling surveys of consumer confidence that they now expect inflation over the next 5 years in the US to be higher than at any time in the past 41 years. The financial markets know it because in the US they have been tanking. The US dollar has been going down, so the rest of the world knows it. But what we have to worry about most is not really the impact on our exports to the US, although it will hurt our beef exporters in particular. You know, Americans will be paying more for the hamburgers they eat, which mostly have Australian beef rather than American beef in them. Our beef exporters, hopefully, and of course some of our beef exporters are now being dreadfully hit by those floods in southwestern Queensland, of course, so they may not have as much beef to export, but hopefully other beef producers will be able to find other markets, just as our barley producers, for example, were able to find other markets when China imposed punitive tariffs on them. But the bigger risk to us is that these tariffs that Trump has imposed are meant to hurt countries like China. And China, of course, is our biggest customer. And if China is unable to sell as much stuff to the US as they have been doing, then they will buy less stuff from us. And that matters much more than the impact of Trump's tariffs on things we sell directly to the United States.
What impact on Australian families? I think most people had braced themselves for a 20% announcement. So 10% was, well, it's a very significant discount, isn't it?
Well, it's not a discount from the tariffs that Trump alleges we are imposing on them, even though that's false. I mean, if he was being truly reciprocal, he wouldn't be imposing any tariffs on us at all, because we don't impose any tariffs on the United States. But Trump is not one to let facts or evidence get in the way of what he thinks is a good story.
Yes.
As I say, the biggest harm, if there's the biggest harm, will be suffered by American consumers. But you know, Australian beef producers may take a hit if they're unable to sell the beef that they would otherwise be selling to our biggest beef market, which is the US, if they're unable to sell it, or they have to sell it more cheaply in order to sell it somewhere else. I mean, it's possible that the result may be lower beef prices for Australian households if meat that would otherwise be sent to the US has to be sold more cheaply here, or if farmers, other than those affected by the floods in southwest Queensland, decide to reduce their herds and send their animals, you know, to the slaughterhouses to be turned into rump steaks and things like that. That might put downward pressure on the price of meat, but it would be bad for our farmers. Mm. There might be some adverse impacts on our exports of pharmaceuticals, for example, where there's quite an attractive two-way trade between Australia and the United States. Fortunately, our government has said that it's not going to do anything stupid like imposing retaliatory tariffs. I mean, you know, it would be incredibly stupid for us to say that if the American government wants to force its consumers to pay higher prices for imports, which is what they're doing, then we're going to force Australians to pay higher prices for things we import from the United States. You know, we didn't do that when the Chinese imposed disproportionate tariffs on things we export to China because they wanted to change our trade, our foreign policy in some way. We didn't respond to that by saying, okay, we'll force Australians to pay more for everything we import from China. That's, as I sometimes say, circular firing squad stuff. We shouldn't be doing that. But I would like to see our government saying to ordinary Australians, you know, where you have a choice, don't buy American stuff. Don't drink Jim Beam. Don't drink Southern Comfort. You know, drink Bundy. Don't buy a Harley Davidson, buy a Kawasaki or a Yamaha. Don't go to Hollywood. Don't go to Disneyland. Don't go to Hawaii. Telling Qantas and Virgin, if you can, buy Airbuses. Don't buy Boeings. You know, that sort of thing is the language that the Trump administration would understand. And if people and businesses all around the world do that, then it will send a very powerful message to a country that we used to think of as our friend, but no longer is.
I know 1st of April has just passed, but I heard this morning that the American president has specifically targeted tiny little Norfolk Island. Is that a joke?
Well, you sort of wonder. I mean, you know, 29% tariff on Norfolk Island. Now, I actually don't know whether Norfolk Island exports anything to the United States. You know, maybe someone has told someone who has Trump's ear that most of the people who live on Norfolk Island are descendants of mutineers on the Bounty, you know, Fletcher Christians and people like that, and maybe they think they're potential terrorists. You know, I don't know. I mean, but it just shows the sheer lunacy of what the Americans are proposing, that they've singled out Norfolk Island for supposedly some kind of special treatment.
I'm surprised that the president, that Trump's ever heard of it, or let alone his advisors. It just makes the whole thing absolutely ridiculous. It can't last long, can it, Saul?
Well, who knows? I mean, you know, Trump's going to be there unless, you know, God is smiling on the rest of the world, at least until January of 2029. He's talking about suborning the 22nd Amendment, which is the one that precludes people from running for more than two terms. He thinks he can find a way around that. He can't. But if he can't, he could be replaced by J.D. Vance, who you know, might not have some of the undesirable personal characteristics that Trump has.
I think he's worse.
Vance, well, he's not a convicted felon. He's not a self-confessed sexual predator. He's presumably not a racist, since his wife is of Indian origin, but in every other respect, he's as vile as Trump.
Yes, I couldn't agree more. Oh, what a nightmare. And then there's Elon Musk. We'll have to leave him for another day. Saul, this has been an excellent update. Really appreciate this. Thank you.
Not at all. Thank you for having me.
Saul Leslake, independent economist and vice chancellor's fellow at the University of Tasmania.